Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Howdy doody. Well, I've never said that before. Welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host with the most hair. Yes, Andy Goldstein. And what a podcast we've got coming your way over the next 7 hours, this one. Or maybe slightly less. And it begins with Jose, I'm never happy, Mourinho. Yes, that is actually his middle name. A lot of people don't realise that. And he knows what will happen with Christian Eriksen, but doesn't feel he should be the one to say it. There's a surprise.
I know his future, but it's not for me to speak about it. I think it's just for him. In this moment, he's my player. And again, I repeat, we are not in conditions to think that any one of the players that we have available, we don't count on them. We are not many. We need every player, and that's it.
In terms of players potentially coming in and strikers, is that the most difficult position to get right in terms of bringing a player coming in, especially when you consider the extra costs that are involved in that as well?
I think this market in January is a strange market. Sometimes the opportunities are there and sometimes opportunities are not there. And sometimes clubs are ready to sell, to loan. Other times clubs are not. And it's not an easy one. I think it's just the window of opportunity. And sometimes the opportunity is there and sometimes it's not there.
Time now to head over to Jim and Natalie's studio, aka the Mid-Morning Show. And Danny Murphy saying there's less pressure playing at a smaller club than a bigger club like Liverpool. That's a big surprise there. Other Danny Murphy facts are, of course, that night follows day and the water in the ocean that you see is actually extremely wet. And, of course, once you lose your hair, it will never grow back. Anyway, here's Danny Murphy.
The reason you get more chance of playing for your country if you're playing for a bigger team is because by playing for a bigger team, you are proving week in, week out that you can play under bigger pressure. So playing for Fulham, for me, was more relaxed and less pressure. I mean, I was at the latter stage of my career, so I was quite comfortable with myself anyway, which helped, than playing at Anfield every week. Now, if you can produce your best form when you're playing at Anfield or Old Trafford or the Etihad or the Emirates, as an England manager, you're thinking European Championships, World Cups, biggest crowd ever watching at home. Every national paper writing about it, you're in a quarter final of a World Cup or a European Euro Championships semi final at Wembley. Well, Rashford's all right, and he plays in front of 72,000 every week. Old Trafford. Ings has only been playing at Southampton. The thing is with the jump to England is that you're talking about the Euros coming up, massive tournament, massive pressure, especially playing at home and stuff like that. He's only had one cap before. He's only just having this run of form and this confidence building season, if you like. If you're going to maybe think about Ings in terms of England, is Gareth going to take a risk? Because he'd have to play a couple of games before that, wouldn't he? And if Harry's injured, surely those games would be more for Tammy Abraham or Rashford down the middle, which he's played before, to work on that in case Harry isn't there. I'm not sure whatever he does from now to the end of the season is going to be able to push his way in. I think Gareth likes Tammy Abraham a lot. You know, he's got that ability to be a target man. He's great in the air. He's a different player to Danny Ings, obviously. You've got Rashford who can play through the middle. And the other thing, if you are really going to say who is the ideal replacement of Kane, if Kane wasn't fit for the Euros, God forbid, who would you have? I think most people, I'd go Vardy.
So on the back of Danny Murphy saying that Danny Ings shouldn't be in the England squad, here's John Motson saying the complete opposite.
For a player that had such bad luck earlier in his career, with injuries I'm thinking about now, to score 10 in 10 starts, which he has, He's put himself, I think, in a leading position. He did get one cap under Roy Hodgson. Everyone's forgotten it. Came on as a sub against Lithuania. But he's never added to that.
No.
I think under Gareth, if he's playing the way he is and without Harry Kane... I think he'll get in.
Time now to check in with Big Al on the Alan Brazil Breakfast Show. And, of course, alongside him was Scarlett's son, Jamie O'Hara, arguing about England strikers. O'Hara wants Vardy and Brazil, which is a bit weird because Alan Brazil retired years ago. Only played for Scotland. Oh, hold on. Oh, and Brazil wants Greenwood. My mistake.
I would take Vardy and Danny Ings.
Now, what Vardy is... Vardy at the moment is retired.
Vardy is a big call because he has retired from international football, but all that you can to get
him
back.
I'm the manager. I'm telling him, he's coming. You're on the plane. It's a one last heyday for England. Euro 2020. We're going to be at home.
I'm getting goosebumps. Go on.
We're at home. Wembley. 80,000, you're telling me Vardy's going to turn around and say no?
He still hasn't got his five yet because you can't have Keane or Vardy. So who's your five?
Go on, Jamie, give us your five.
My five. Well, is Vardy's in?
No, he's not in. He doesn't want to play for England again. He said no.
Al would go with Mason Greenwood and Jamie would go with Jamie Vardy. I think we can still include Jamie Vardy in the discussion.
I can. I can do what I want. I'm the England manager.
You're the England manager.
I'll do what I want. I'll tell him. He's playing.
Ridiculous. Stick Sheeran in there. He might come back.
He'd probably do a better job than Greenwood.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Time now to head over to H&J or Hawksby & Jacobs, as we know and love them. And one of the main reasons why their show has been so successful is because their audience, from when they came on air, 45 years ago, have stuck with them through thick and thin. And the only negative side of that, of course, is a lot of them, after listening to the show, weekdays between 1 and 4, can't remember a thing about it. So this is probably for you and anyone else that either forgot or hasn't heard Andy Brassel on the show talking about Bruno Fernandes and why he's got loads of qualities that would suit Manchester United.
He's got the whole tactical side of the game down and he can pass the ball and he knows when to hold on to it. He knows when to give it. And that reading of the game, which you don't really associate with a sort of number eight charge into the box and score goals sort of player, I think makes him really interesting, and that he has been able to flourish with Portugal and with Sporting in European competition and in the big matches for a Sporting side that aren't that good. He's a natural leader as well, and clearly that's an area in which Manchester United really need to reinforce.
Time now to hear from Ian Abrahams, a.k.a. The Moose, speaking with Nigel Pearson. There's a fight I'd love to see. Did I say that or was that in my mind? Anyway, this is him talking with Nigel Pearson, being Nigel Pearson. All very bizarre, but this will make sense.
Nigel, I'm intrigued by what you just said there. You're not a football fan.
No, I'm not a football fan. I'm a football coach. You've misunderstood. You've got your punctuation wrong. I'm not a football fan. I'm a football coach and manager.
But, I mean, when you go home at night and there's other games on, I mean, would you watch them or do you watch...
Not if Murder, She Wrote's on, no. No. Of course I do it. Of course I watch some. But you misunderstood what I said.
You're not obsessed by it?
No, but you're misunderstanding what I said. I'm not a football fan. I don't support a team.
Yeah.
I'm a football person. There's a difference. And so my job is to try and achieve what we set out to do on any given day. So it's... I'm not an active supporter of a football club.
And I think you are an ostrich. Well, your head must be in the sand. Is your head in the sand? Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand?
Time now to check in with the ginger fella with very loud shirts, Adrian Durham, and Darren Bent was alongside. They are having a big old debate on the simple question, who's better, Harry Kane or Sergio Aguero?
You know what's funny about Aguero is that at the very, very start, before his debut against, was it QPR, he came on and scored the debut goal. He scored against his very first goal. I remember speaking to someone who was at Manchester City at the time and I said, oh, what's Aguero like? What a signing. He said, oh my God, he's the worst trainer you've ever seen. And so I was like, we're worried about him. I don't know how the game's going to go. And obviously, I think the first game he came off the bench, scored two or something.
Yeah.
And obviously the rest is history. But it was, I always remember that conversation. I won't tell you who the conversation was with.
Ah.
But that's what they said. They were like, no, oh my God, you need to see him in training. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he's got a tap in at the far post. And
power driver from the edge of the area.
Yeah, that's right. They say all sorts of different finishes, and there's no doubt nobody can contest the actual fact that Pep Guardiola's improved his game, his all-round game as well. But I do think people need to calm down. If people are suddenly saying he's the best the Premier League has ever seen, I think that...
False.
Yeah, I think that people just need to stay calm about that one, because there's a lot of factors you've got to take into account, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. You've got to look at, obviously, who they played for. You talk about importance, goal, big games as well. You know, I mean, finals, and when your team really needed you. And as I said, there's strikers that score a lot of goals that will score goals like, and I'm not putting Aguero in this category, but you get strikers that score a lot of goals, and four and fives in the team's won 5-0 and they scored the fourth and fifth. So it looks like they score a lot of goals, but people like Aguero, sometimes when the games are tight, gets that first goal, the important one, when the game are tight and you need someone with maybe a little bit of magic to break the deadlock. And for me, I like Aguero. He'd be up there in my estimations, of my top five, or not even top five, list of big best strikers in the Premier League. He would be up there, but he wouldn't be at the very top like some people are trying to put him.
Okay, your top five strikers is foreign ones having played in the Premier League. Would you say he's above Kane in the list? Obviously, Kane doesn't qualify for your top five, so you're not giving anything away here, but would you say Kane's above Aguero?
I think if they're both on top form, both, obviously, if you talk about height of their performances when they're at their best, I'd put Kane ahead of him, yeah.
Why is that?
I just think statistically he scored more goals. I think he scored more important goals, obviously. I think there was a stat apparently that there's only a few players that have scored 20 goals in a season more than once, and I think Kane's done it 3 or 4 times, which is incredible. I think Aguero's only ever done it once, which is scary considering how many goals he's got. So for me, I think if they're both on top, I'm going to go with Kane.
Do you know what? I think you've made a great point there. The stat that I've pulled out, and in terms of, listen, we're judging strikers here, and you can look at all-round game, you can look at players they've played with as well. He's been playing with some utterly brilliant players all his time at Man City. If it's about the number of goals that he has scored, or the number of hat-tricks, he's got the record for that as well. He's been at Man City since 2011. There's a lot of strikers came into the Premier League and left after 3 or 4 seasons, but are still legends of the Premier League. Ruud van Nistelrooy is a great example. Wasn't here a long time, but wow, did he make an impact. And there's a debate as to whether he'd be in that mix. We'll find out from your top five a little bit later on. Other players as well just weren't around as long, and he's been there so long, Sergio Aguero. But in terms of scoring, I'll go with 25-plus goals in a season. He's only done that once. I think people will find that hard to believe. Premier League goals, he's only done it once, Sergio Aguero. Kane did it 3 seasons running. Just think about that for a second. Aguero's done it once. Kane, in a worse team, did it 3 seasons running.
And was it 3 golden boots in a row as well?
Incredible.
At least 2.
Yeah.
And you might as well throw in a World Cup golden boot while you're at it as well.
And and I'm not doing Aguero down. He is, let me reiterate, absolute legend of Man City and the Premier League as well. But let me give you, if we're going back in time to the early years of the Premier League, Alan Shearer. Absolutely incredible record for 3 seasons running at Blackburn. He scored 31. This is Premier League only. 31, 34, 31.
Scary.
Next season at Newcastle, 25. It's just insane.
Do you know what? But when you try and add up Alan Shearer, you're taking into account the big injuries that he had as well, because he missed some like large seasons at times if you add them all together.
Yeah.
And for him to still score 260, it's scary. I think he had 100 before he even left Blackburn, which is scary in itself. So, I mean, listen, Shearer's always got to come into the discussion. I know some people might not say, yeah, Shearer, I wouldn't put him above certain players, but as far as goal scoring wise, he's got to be the best we've ever seen as a goal scorer, because he's up like 100 clear of anybody.
Time now to head over to the press box with Danny Kelly and Simon Jordan. Not to be confused with Simon Jordan's final word with Danny Kelly. That show, of course, has Simon Jordan's name on the door. This one has just got the word press box with Danny Kelly and Simon Jordan. Anyway, Tony Evans was alongside. Have a listen to this.
Well, Ollie McBurney, former Swansea player, went to the game at Cardiff. I mean, big game, because I'm right in thinking that these two sides haven't done the double over each other for, I mean, generations. And Swansea and Cardiff played out a 0-0 draw. Ollie was there with Joe Rodon, is that the boy's name? Another player who's been capped for Wales, and a friend of theirs who's a professional cage fighter. They did, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, in his beanie hat and his beard, they did do a very good impression of Goldie-looking Chain on the terraces. People took exception when Ollie made what can only be described as the most male of gestures, shall we say, in the general direction of the opposition fans. I'll I'll show you, Simon, there on radio.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a camera, yeah, but yeah. They think yeah. I'm doing it to Simon, it's no problem. What do we make? What do we mean? It's a modern trope, isn't it? Players turning up in the away end of their old clubs. We've seen one or two doing it. What did you make of it?
Most people, when it said the FA are poised to take action, were laughing. Most football fans would probably laugh. And he's not going to get done. He's going to get
He's been what? He's been made aware. Say, yeah, he's been made aware of his future responsibilities.
He was wearing the most despicable jacket I've ever seen. So I mean,
so he should have been done for that.
He should, yeah, without a doubt.
Well, this show does not approve of fashion policing, as you probably noticed.
I do like players being in with the supporters, though. I like that. Paul Dummett was doing it with Newcastle. He was.
Yeah, but Paul Dunnett is a Newcastle player.
Yeah.
This fella doesn't play for this team anymore.
He used to. But, I mean, the idea behind this game, there was a lot of press around this game because it was the game that they were using facial recognition for the police. Mm. So there was a hell of a lot of press.
Okay, I didn't know that.
A lot of stuff going around this game that created a profile. So that boy going there and making himself front and centre is stupid.
Mm.
He's stupid. He's a moron.
I bet Chris Wilder were
impressed with it. But the fact is, there's been a lot of controversy around that game. They played earlier on in the season because Neil was manager at Cardiff then. There was a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of nonsense that goes on between Cardiff and Swansea.
That's true,
the fans. They've made the Cardiff fans and the Swansea fans have to travel in a certain way. You couldn't buy a game ticket
They'd
local.
They've been kettled, haven't everything. They?
Yeah. And then you've got facial recognition going on and all of the stuff that was going on, the controversy with South Wales Police running that particular thing. So it was a high-profile game. So what's this twit who's a Premier League footballer doing that for?
But he's all right to go to the game. You don't mind him?
No, I don't mind him going to the game.
That's fine. But behave in a way that's conducive with being a professional footballer. You were supposed to be a professional footballer.
Did you? You don't think you should laugh at all? Just a little laugh.
I know we are in the eye of a storm about football fans at this moment in time.
We're in the eye of
football fans saying things that are inappropriate, of a racist nature, of a homophobic nature. They're storming on to training grounds to try and confront players. They're going at chairman at football clubs like Ed Woodward.
We don't
get to it because football fans are the lifeblood of a football club and they're the heartbeat. They are the reasons why football clubs are not just soulless, vacuous places. Right? They give it the energy.
Well, you're not going to get an argument from me about that.
By the same token, there is a balance between what you can do and what you can't do. And you don't need a professional footballer standing on the terraces doing that and saying, that's all right, because... He won't like it if it's done to him when he's playing.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
So it just gets on my nerves. I think he should kick up the jacksie.
You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Time now to head back to Jim White's show alongside Natalie Sawyer. And it was Natalie Sawyer who was saying the former top flight sides in the championship, not easy for me to say, but I'll say it really quick, top flight sides. I know, it's quite easy actually. Anyway, she was saying that top flight sides in the championship, see I did it again, use their reputation to overcharge away fans. Have a listen, pin back your luggles and have a listen to this.
Following on from a conversation we had last week, Jim, where obviously we fell out over whether or not you're a true fan if you follow your team away from home. Danny, this was a conversation we had last week with Clinton Morrison. Both of them were telling me I'm not a true Brentford fan because I don't travel away and watch them as regularly as I'd like to. But I was saying I have other commitments, so it's not that easy to do so. Following on from that, interesting point to raise.
I'm with
which,
you, Nat, by the way.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate
oh, please.
That.
I am.
No, but cost.
Stop grovelling. You were doing so well.
But, Jim, cost was a massive factor in some of this as well. A lot of people being put off going away with their team because of cost. Travel, accommodation, ticket prices. And seven championship clubs regularly now charge away fans more than £30 for the cheapest adult That's ticket, ridiculous. Which is more, Danny, than the Premier League, who agreed to cap their prices nearly 4 years ago. Now, research has shown that Elland Road is the most expensive ground
is
to
it
visit.
Really?
Yeah, they charge £39. Then you've got Fulham, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, Bristol City and Blackburn, who all charge more than Premier League sides for away fans. Now, I mentioned the Premier League price cap, well, this was brought in 2016 on a 3-year trial, which is extended now for a further 3 years. So it's only
good that.
Yeah, brilliant. £30 is the top price for tickets in the Premier League. It's a move that has also helped attendances in terms of away attendances as well. Obviously, you can say broadcasting revenue helps the Premier League sides to cover their ticket pricing shortfall, and TV rights in the EFL is much less. So that means there is a greater reliance on matchday revenue. And so that will be why some clubs will justify their pricing structure. But as I mentioned, the discussions we had last week about whether or not if you're a true fan and you go to away games, the cost of away games will be a massive factor.
No, I take your point, Natalie. Especially when you're explaining it like that. I didn't know that.
Can I just ask, Natalie, is there any correlation in that information regarding the the home fans and away fans tickets? Because I understand it a little bit more if it's an even keel. You know, so are Leeds fans paying 39 quid
no,
to get in?
Not necessarily.
That's
no.
where it's wrong, isn't it?
No, exactly. And obviously what you'll find is, obviously you've got season tickets, so that makes it slightly different.
Of course.
Match day tickets may well be cheaper because there'll be special deals for home fans that away fans can't access, obviously. It kind of made me think, when you look at the clubs that are involved in these pricing structures as well, some of these clubs were once in the Premier League. And you feel like they've still got that Premier League mentality. They're not thinking about the true fan anymore. They're still thinking, well, we were once in the Premier League, so we can charge away fans these astronomical prices.
You mean as in the fans will pay it because they're coming to a
because
big stadium
and
they want a day out at Leeds, for example.
Exactly. And I understand the lure of somewhere like Leeds. I've been to see Brentford play at Leeds and I loved it. But it's not right fans are being charged nearly £40 to watch their team.
Is it the EFL that would have to do something about it?
Well, the problem is it would have to be an EFL decision. And as I mentioned, because of broadcasting revenues, this will be a problem. The Premier League sides were able to come together and say, we make so much money out of the Premier League TV rights that we can afford to cap our ticket prices. Whereas in the EFL, that isn't the same.
Nearly time for the end of the podcast. But I know what a lot of you are thinking. Hold on, Goldstein, it can't be the end because we've not had the best bits of the best show on national radio in the world. That, of course, is Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Well, don't worry. Don't bother writing in. Oh, hold on. Someone has written in. Don't bother writing in. Dear Andy, when are the best bits? They're now. Chill out, everyone. Chill out. You've got 5 stats from the weekend's football, I understand.
Yep.
Okay, let's start.
5. Nigel Pearson has won 11 of his last 15 Premier League games, making him the first English manager to win at least 11 times over a run of 15 games since Harry Redknapp in 2012.
I didn't hear that.
What were you doing?
Why not?
What were you doing?
I somehow.
Tweeting, isn't it?
Somehow. It's amazing. My concentration was somewhere complete. I've got headphones on.
And I missed about the first bit of that. I'm like, I ain't got a clue what he's talking about.
Oh, you'll miss it. No. Okay, hold on. What did you hear? No. What do you think it is?
I heard sort of like 15 games running. I looked at your face and you looked like you were really impressed. I'm like,
go on, have a guess what it is.
You could have come out and said, someone has just eaten loads of frozen fish down the road and you could have said anything. Yeah. And I would not
have. But have a guess what you think it is with the information you've got in your little head.
Do you know what? I haven't got a clue.
Well, you'll never know.
Okay, fair enough. Someone tweet me it. Tweet me what it could have been.
Okay. Next one.
Four.
I better listen to this.
Bournemouth have now lost 81 Premier League games since promotion for the 2015-16 season. Only Sunday's opponents, Watford, have been beaten more times in that time. That's 82. The Cherries have also conceded the most goals, 300, in the top flight since their first game back in August 2015.
It's a lot.
Are they going down?
At the moment, they are.
Yep. Should they get rid of him? If they're going to go down, should they get rid of him?
It's a really tough one.
Got a lot of injuries, Jay, haven't they?
They do have a lot of injuries.
Oh, no, sorry, Rufus, your job is only to talk stats.
No, they...
Not to think 14 players injured.
No, the reason Rufus just chipped in is because Rufus and I were having this exact conversation about an hour before you turned up. No, not yet.
Okay. Next one.
I was waiting too long.
Three.
My phone just locked, so I'll unlock it.
Oh, you're getting off your phone. Good one. Excellent stuff.
Liverpool have collected 104 points across their last 38 Premier League matches. That's 33 wins and 5 draws. A record total by any team across 38 match spell in the competition's history, overtaking 102 points stretches by Man City and Chelsea.
That again backs up what I was saying earlier. Look at you. Next one, quickly.
Anything about Man United's 4-0 Tottenham?
Oh, there is one. Yeah, there is one. Man United have kept 2 clean sheets in their last 3 Premier League games.
There we go. Well done. There you go. Press the button. As many as in their previous 30 in the competition.
So you're getting better.
You're getting better.
Mate, as D. Ream said, things can only get better. Are these in order, by the way?
Not really. That was going to be my number one. But
no, you just changed it last time. Where are we now? Have we done 2?
I think we're at 1.
No, we're at 1.
1.
Okay. Words need to come out of your mouth.
40% of Danny Ings' Premier League goals have been scored this season. 14 out of 35. Indeed, he is the highest scoring player.
That's a word no one uses.
He is the highest scoring player for the Saints in a single Premier League season since Jay Rodriguez 6 years ago. Does it say six years there? No, it says 2013-14.
Okay, so you had to work that out, did you? Okay. 7 years ago.
Got to be on the plane, isn't he? Ferry, train. Oh, no, I don't mean put
it. Ad living. There you go, those were tonight's stats. Well done, Rufus. That's nearly it for another podcasty thing. But before I go, let me tell you about some big old football matches that are coming your way tonight, if you're listening on Tuesday, the 14th of January, 2020. Who cares about you? At 7 p.m, we have kickoff. It's an FA Cup special around the grounds. Mark Saggers, I'm working tonight. He's so angry. Anyway, he takes you around the grounds to where the story is on a big night of FA Cup third round replays. Some real big games. Tranmere against Watford. Tottenham against Middlesbrough. Newcastle against Rochdale. Anyway, they take you around the grounds when there's goals going in certain matches. That's from 7 p.m. on TalkSport. And of course, straight after that from 10, I'll be on air to take your very important phone calls on 3 massive games in the FA Cup. Well, that's it for another podcasty thing. Good work. Well done. Remember to subscribe to this if you've not already done so via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm being told that the download figures for this are quite good now. And if we reach our next milestone, they will be buying me a Sinclair C5. So, fingers crossed, I've already got my battery charger ready. So keep downloading it, keep telling your friends, Acast, Apple Pods and Spotify. If you see some idiot with massive hair driving along the freeway, we don't have freeways, in an open top piece of junk, you know the downloads are doing well. Don't forget to join me tonight from 10 p.m. for the Sports Bar, Andy Goldstein's one, for your calls on a big night of FA Cup football. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, everyone. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.